You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak Sports Television, literally made for today. It is crazy. NFL free agency frenzy. This is the biggest offseason day there will be. So glad you are here for it. Let's update you first and foremost on the most notable transactions. At the top of the screen, Kirk Cousins, no longer a Minnesota Viking. He's joining the Atlanta Falcons. Then you'll see a name, Christian Wilkins, former first round pick, Miami Dolphins. He's gone. He's gone from the East, headed out West, joining the Raiders. As you move down the list, you'll see Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, playoff Gabe Davis, a sneaky huge addition for the Jacksonville Jags, and DeAndre Swift joining the current backfield of Justin Fields, but he might be the newest partner for Caleb Williams if the Bears choose to use that first round pick on Caleb Williams. It is a huge NFL day, and it is a huge, huge, huge joy to be doing this show with these brilliant minds at the desk. First, I got to start with you, Dave Hellman. Dave Hellman, sitting in for Shady McCoy. Shady McCoy, noticeably absent. James Jones, is he dodging you? Did y'all had a race today? There was a race that was supposed to occur, a 40-yard dash around the world. James, what happened?
You know what, man? I know how competitive my dog is, so I won't say he's dodging me. You know what I mean? I would just say I'm sending my prayers out to him, man, hoping that he's feeling better. You know, he my dog. But just give my hammies a couple more days. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if we do dial it up again. No, that's my dog, man. I hope he's good, man.
George Taylor, how are we feeling?
We're good. We're good. It's the offseason. There's moves being made.
Ooh. Huge moves being made. And there truly is no bigger move than the one that happened in Philadelphia. Saquon Barkley, a star-studded running back, no longer a New York Giant, just signed a three-year deal worth up to $47.5 million with the Philadelphia Eagles, staying in the NFC East. He's leaving the Giants. He's joining the Eagles. The Eagles were in the Super Bowl just a year ago. I believe, James Jones, that the Eagles have the best skill position group in football, either Eagles or the Niners. I don't think it's particularly close. A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts. That is an explosive and potent backfield. It doesn't get much bigger than that. This is a huge day, but did the Eagles need Saquon?
I don't think the Eagles needed Saquon, but I do think Jalen Hurts needed Saquon. We've seen the way Jalen Hurts looked last year playing football. He did not play the game of football at a high level. We've seen him take a lot of crazy shots down the field, and sometimes he got into the media and he say, I was just trying to give him a chance. I seen him down there. So Saquon Barkley allows you to be like, listen, this is what coverages we are getting, right? When he's out wide, you are going to know if it's zone or man. And he can really run these routes and catch the ball out of the backfield. So a lot of these plays, he was taking down the field, taking shot plays down the field. It's okay to dump that thing down to Saquon. But not only that, routes-wise, I'm not talking about checkdowns. I'm talking about put him out there like you see the Niners use Christian McCaffrey and let him run routes, but make it easy on Jalen Hurts. I think that's what this does. You already have two phenoms at the wide receiver spot. You put Saquon Barkley in there. This right here, I think, is a true security blanket for your quarterback to help make the game easier for him. Who knows how the defense is going to play? Saquon can't help you over there. But strictly Jalen Hurts, I think this helps him to be able to play the game at a higher level at the quarterback spot.
Well said. Joy, what do you think? Did the Eagles need Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, the Eagles needed all the help they could get. I mean, they had a nice stretch in the regular season last year, but I don't think the season ended the way that we expected it to, and certainly the way that they expected it to coming off of a Super Bowl run. I think I agree with James. It makes them more dynamic. It gives them a very powerful weapon that can make the offense more diverse, make things easier on Jalen Hurts, which we saw last year is something that needs to be a part of their offense. You want to make things always easier on your quarterback, but particularly a young quarterback and a quarterback that plays the way that Jalen Hurts plays. They need to have a dynamic run game. That only elevates what Jalen Hurts is able to do with his legs. It makes things more difficult on the defense. So I like that they brought him in. Congrats getting your money as well.
Uh-huh.
Saquon.
Finally.
Saquon. Well overdue. And I like that he stayed in the NFC East, so he can get a little get back for you as well.
Dave, this is interesting because when Shady was here just last week, obviously a luxury to do the show with him, he broke down the top five running backs that were free agents right now. I think he had DeAndre Swift at number four, Saquon at number three. Or he had Saquon at number three and Swift at number two. Josh Jacobs was his number one. With that being said, this is an all-time rushing leader giving his opinion, albeit it is just his opinion, but he's simply saying there wasn't that big a gap talent-wise between Swift and Saquon. I don't believe there's that big a gap talent-wise as either between Swift and Saquon, particularly when you consider the fact that Saquon isn't always all that healthy. You know the NFC East better than anybody on television covering the Dallas Cowboys since 2011?
I'll give it to you. Yeah. Ballpark.
Don't date me.
So break it down, Dave Hellman. Did the Eagles need Saquon?
I think that's my thing. I mean, the answer is no. I don't think they needed him. Clearly, a running back who's capable of 1,500 all-purpose yards is going to make you better. That's a lot of fun. He's a great player. I'm not trying to downplay Saquon Barkley. But when you talk about need, when you talk about where the Eagles are and what they've already had, I think it's so interesting the way that they have departed from their previous strategy. DeAndre Swift was acquired for a fourth-round pick and some change. 1,200-yard player. Miles Sanders was the guy before him. Second-round draft pick. Rookie wage scale. Like, these are affordable players. And when you think about what the Eagles already have, you've paid Jalen Hurts. You've paid A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith's payday is coming. You want to keep him around, right? Yeah. Dallas Goddard's been paid. The offensive line has big pieces. They just made Landon Dickerson the highest-paid guard in the league today, I believe. So think about all those pieces. Where you can skimp traditionally is running back. You could pay DeAndre Swift half as much as what Saquon Barkley's making. Or you could dive even further into free agency. James, it's an open wound, and I'm sorry, but Aaron Jones is available right now. You could find maybe lesser players, but less expensive players as well to fill that void. And I'm curious. I do think the Eagles needed something. I don't know if it was running back when you think of what a mess the back end of their defense was last year, how they haven't had fantastic linebacker play in God knows how long, like probably since Jeremiah Trotter. That's how long it's been since the Eagles balled out at linebacker. I would have liked to see that. I would have liked to see Howie Roseman address the safety position or the linebacker position. It's not to say Saquon's not good. He's going to pile up yards, I'm sure. Probably won't pile up touchdowns because he plays on the Tush Push team, but he's going to be good. I wonder if the Eagles could have spent this money somewhere else.
Cowboys haven't had a good beat writer since.
Wow.
Since we're taking shots. Since we're just taking shots. You know what I mean?
Come on now. I can't say you, Dave. You don't pick up when I call. I had to do it.
I do think Joy Taylor's a copycat league. Because I agree with you, Dave. I don't think the Eagles needed Saquon at all. If I think about DeAndre Swift, he had 78 targets in the season. He had 62 catches, if I'm not mistaken. DeAndre Swift can do a lot of what Saquon can do. But when you look at the Niners and how they use Christian McCaffrey, safety blanket. Yeah. I think the Eagles watched the Niners sneak through the playoffs. And I say sneak because it was ugly versus the Packers and it was ugly versus the Lions. But they saw what McCaffrey did and they said, you know what? Maybe we just need one of those. Or, Joy, it could have been how the Eagles did in 2014 when we acquired DeMarco Murray from the Dallas Cowboys. And it wasn't that we wanted DeMarco Murray. We just didn't want the Cowboys to have him.
How'd that go, though?
Exactly. It didn't go well. Do you think that Saquon can help get the Eagles back to where they want to go, which is a Super Bowl 2 years ago? Not far off.
Look, I think Saquon's name is Saquon for a reason. Part of it was playing for the New York Football Giants. Playing in New York City has a lot of benefits, but it's also because we've seen the heights of what Saquon can be, particularly when he's healthy. There's a reason he is the superstar of the level that he is. There's a reason he was drafted to where he was. And the reason why we just call him Saquon. When you're a one-namer, you earned that, particularly in this league. So if you are the Eagles and you're looking at what talent is available, and we often have the talent versus production conversation, and a lot of times people tend to lean towards talent because where the talent is the potential. Right? The results can come from somebody that's not quite as talented. And then we talk about scheme and offensive coordinator and system and all of that. when you bring up someone like Christian McCaffrey is really one of one. Mm-hmm. Talent, production, everything. He's one of one. But if you can get close to that, and you know the talent is there with Saquon, the talent is, yeah, is not absolutely the question with Saquon. It's the health, and it is the production, and a lot of the production has to do with the health. So if I'm going to risk something like this, if I'm going to pay for something like this, I'm paying for what I know, not what I imagine, what I know Saquon Barkley can do when he is available and when he is able to be consistent. And when he has the pieces around him that he does, the offensive line, when the offensive line is together, even if it's not what we think it or what it has been, it's still going to be better than what he's been playing behind. The potential is there.
I want to be clear. Yeah. It's going to be very fun to watch. Yeah. It's going to be electric. Just when you're budgeting these things, there's other things that the Eagles need to address.
But not only that, though, because I look at it this way. Swift probably can do what Saquon Barkley does.
No doubt.
Miles Sanders probably can do what Saquon Barkley does, number-wise. But getting off the bus right now when you play the Philadelphia Eagles offense, you better stop 26. And that's, to me, the difference between Swift and Sanders. When 26 is out there and emotions out the backfield and this young fella could run routes, if 26 is in the backfield, attention on 26. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to make sure we have a game plan to stop 26. That's the difference. We have to get off the bus and say, circle 26, we have to stop him when he's healthy on the football field. That's what the Eagles are banking on. So that's what he brings different than Swift in there. You might have to stop A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith when you got Miles Sanders or Swift in the backfield, right? We're not worried about them just coming down here, running downhill, consistently beating us. With Saquon back there, that's why I say this helps the quarterback, because he's a coverage dictator. That's why we brought up all them stats when he plays with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is that much better because of what he brings. When you talk about somebody you're trying to stop and a coverage dictator, it helps your quarterback. That's what I think he brings different than these other running backs.
Well, speaking of quarterback, the biggest move in free agency today was a move that the Falcons made, acquiring Kirk Cousins, my draft classmate, 2012. Kirk Cousins has done a lot of good things in the National Football League, and now he's taking his 35-year-old talents to Atlanta. Remember, Atlanta has a brand new head coach after firing Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, now the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Raheem Morris, now the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons. If I'm not mistaken, Raheem Morris was on staff with Kirk Cousins, correct me if I'm wrong, Washington, back in 2012 to 2014. Raheem Morris coached the Senior Bowl that me and Kirk Cousins were a part of. So Morris and Kirk Cousins go back more than a decade now. James Jones, the Falcons need help.
Yes, they do.
Desmond Ridder,
yes.
Marcus Mariota,
yes.
Taylor Heineke. Those are the quarterbacks they've rolled out there the last 2 years. Arthur Smith, 7-10, 7-10, 7-10. That was his consistent record. But when I look at the Falcons, I see Bijan Robinson at running back, first-round pick.
Really good player.
I see Kyle Pitts at tight end, first-round pick. I see Drake London, freakazoid out of really USC, player, incredibly talented wide receiver. Yeah. On the defensive side of the football, I see A.J. Terrell. I see Jesse Bates. I see playmakers. Now you're adding Kirk Cousins, a dude who you can bank on passing for 4,000 yards every season. I think he makes the Atlanta Falcons at least the favorite to win their division. Mm. But was it the right move for Kirk? How you feel about it? Mm.
Well, once Russ went to the Steelers, he ain't really had too many moves. You know what I mean? To be honest with you, to go win a Super Bowl, right? Because what's left? The Commanders, the Falcons.
Stay in the Minnesota.
They roster ain't really like that neither, so it's going to be hard for you to compete up over in there with Detroit and the Packers and all that getting better. So it's not too many teams that you're just going to walk in like Russell Wilson is that's ready to go compete for a title. So I think this is a really good fit for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to play well. You could put that in the bank. In the regular season, Kirk Cousins is going to play well. That's what Kirk is going to do. Coming off this Achilles injury, when he is ready to play, he is going to play good football. So I like the move for the Falcons, but the move don't make them no contender to me. The move don't say, hey, man, this Atlanta Falcons team has an opportunity to win the Super Bowl now with Kirk Cousins.
Of course.
Number one, I remember what I see with my own two eyes when Kirk Cousins was 13-3, had the Minnesota Vikings rolling with Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook when they were playing at a high level, and you lost to Daniel Jones and the Giants. So I'm not necessarily saying Kirk Cousins is going to make them contenders, but he's going to make them a better football team. But Kirk is about winning a Super Bowl, at least I believe, right? I mean, I know he started this guaranteed money type thing because he keep getting guaranteed, 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 so he cool. But if you're trying to win a championship, I don't know if that's in Atlanta with Kirk Cousins, in my opinion.
Congrats again, Kirk. You continue to play the
big
game.
Money, absolutely.
of getting money at the highest level. Yeah.
I wish I knew him as a friend.
Write a book. literally. I mean, he writes the book on how to get this guaranteed money.
My goodness.
I love it for him. For the Falcons, this is a move that shows me that they are interested in competing. I don't think it puts them in the Super Bowl conversation because, let's be honest, Kirk Cousins is not a postseason quarterback. He is a regular season quarterback. He is going to make you competitive during the regular season. He's going into year 13. He's 1-3 in the playoffs. Mm. I mean, it's an unserious conversation if we're talking about what he's capable of doing in the postseason up until this point. And as James has pointed out, he's played alongside some high-level talent. He has played at a high level, and it still ends up the exact same way. So while Atlanta has a lot of young pieces to get excited about, and I'm really excited about their new head coach and Raheem Morris, and I think they have something that they're building there, I can't just put them at the top of the NFC just because of this move. But I do like that they are making a move. What the Falcons tried to pitch us the past couple years is, we got it. Mm-hmm. We got to figure it out.
True.
You guys don't know what you're talking about. And where'd that land them? This is a move that at least shows me that you're trying to compete. You're interested in winning the division. And I like Kirk as a player. I think that we get a little crazy about Kirk because he does put up some nice numbers and he has some moments. But when the lights get bright, that's not really his thing. That's not his thing.
So you're not wrong.
It's not been his thing. So until he proves otherwise, that is not his thing.
Dave, here's my question. Kirk Cousins is 35 years old. Sure. Born in 1988, drafted to the Washington Commanders now in 2012. Played for a long time, coming off an Achilles tear. The Falcons have the number 8 pick in one of the most loaded quarterback classes ever. Not like since the turn of the century, not in the last 5 years. One of the most loaded quarterback classes ever. You choose to acquire $150 million 35-year-old coming off an Achilles, Kirk Cousins, when you could have used that number 8 overall pick on a quarterback. You know the draft better than anybody on television. You study college football incredibly well, incredibly intently. Why Kirk Cousins? Why not use the number 8 overall pick on a cheap first-round QB?
It's a bad year to be asked. It's a bad week to be asking that question, don't you think?
Talk to me.
Mac Jones is the backup in Jacksonville now. Justin Fields is the most unwanted man in the NFL based on the Bears' inability to trade him. Trey Lance is the backup in Dallas. Am I forgetting anybody? Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is still with the Jags.
And Zach Wilson, they want out.
Zach Wilson has been unwanted in New York for multiple years, and Trevor Lawrence is good. He's the only guy still with his team. I think most people would agree he's underperformed relative to how much hype there was.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, sure, you can go draft him. Granted, Minnesota's definitely got to trade up to get that guy. So you're not just using, Atlanta. Atlanta's got, you still have to trade up from 8. Probably in the top 3 to get somebody. So you're mortgaging multiple resources, not just that pick. And you don't know if the guy's going to work. Kirk Cousins is going to work. I'm going to do him the favor of, I think the Achilles will be fine. You know, I think he'll recover from that fine. And
you're running nowhere anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And James is 100% right. You can set your watch to Kirk Cousins performing in the regular season. And Joy, I hear you, but I feel like you're trying to have a January conversation in March right now. And that's fine. Look, I get it.
I'm having a 12 January conversation. 12 Januaries we've 12 watched.
Okay, that's fine. But again, there's levels to this thing, right? And what this tells me, you're right, the Falcons are ready to compete. The Falcons are tired of being irrelevant, which is what you are when you don't have one of these guys.
Correct.
We're talking about them in the first block of this show right
now. That's a good
point. That is the difference, and that's what it costs. This is the going rate. You want to be relevant enough for us to talk about you as a team worth taking seriously, it's got to be a top 5 draft pick or $180 million. Ooh. That's what it takes, and that's what Kirk Cousins is worth, because now, do I think the Falcons are a real deal Super Bowl contender? Not really. But I think they're good enough to win their division.
Yeah.
I think they're good enough to be in that tournament, maybe even win a game. They did it without using that number 8 overall draft pick. So they can spend that on a badass, whether it's another receiver, whether it's a defensive end or a cornerback. They can add a premier talent to a team that already has plenty of it. Yeah. And at the very least, you have to say the Falcons are worth taking seriously, which has not been the case since Matt Ryan and Julio Jones were a hell of a lot younger than they are right now. So, no, it's not this game-changing math. We're not putting the Falcons in the conversation with the Chiefs or the 49ers, but they're in the conversation, which is somewhere they haven't been in a minute, and you know that's been driving Falcons owner Arthur Blank crazy.
You got to spend $180 million to get in the A block of this show.
But you know what's crazy, though?
Honey.
You know what's crazy, too, though? And I respect Raheem Morris, because Raheem, like, if I draft a rookie, who knows how long I'm going to be here?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Let me go get somebody that can win me some games. So if I do get in a position, listen, I have won a lot of football games, might not have won in the playoffs a lot. I'll develop this young quarterback when Kurt's time is up. But right now with Kirk Cousins, I have an opportunity to go out here and compete. I know what won this division last year, and we got a chance is what Raheem Morris is saying right now.
Here's what I love about the Falcons. The cupboard is full. Because in 2021, they used the 4th overall pick to draft Kyle Pitts.
Yes.
Then in 2022, they used the 8th overall pick to draft wide receiver Drake London.
Yeah.
Then in 2023, they used the 8th overall pick to draft running back Bijan Robinson. So you got your tight end set, your running back set, your wide receiver set. You didn't have a quarterback, but now the quarterback position is set. Mm. Well, the most groundbreaking quarterback shakeup is Russell Wilson heading to Pittsburgh. It really shook the NFL world when it was confirmed yesterday. Russell Wilson joining a top 10 defense. For context, last time he was on a top 10 defense, he won a playoff game. A couple years before that, he won the Super Bowl. You give Russ a good defense, he gives you great results. That's been the history. Let's dialogue about was it a great decision next on Speak. Do not forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel, SiriusXM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Should the Steelers want Russell Wilson?
The Pittsburgh Steelers is the perfect place for Russell Wilson.
I think if Russell goes to the Steelers, they will be a contender.
The only team for him to go to that needs a quarterback is the Pittsburgh Steelers to have an opportunity to win a championship.
Pittsburgh is a more unique and better situation for Russ. It's much closer to what he had in Seattle.
Mike Tomlin should be tired of walking off fields like, dang, if we make one play on offense, we win the football game.
Only thing he needs is a quarterback. And he don't need a Patrick Mahomes. He don't need a Josh Allen. He just needs a solid, efficient quarterback, the stuff that Russell did last year.
For seconds, minutes, hours, we have been weighing in on the Russell Wilson hypotheticals. Well, the hypotheticals turned into reality. The Steelers, they have their new quarterback, Russell Wilson, 9-time Pro Bowler, joining the Pittsburgh Steelers, an elite defense led by head coach Mike Tomlin, who's never had a losing season. But here's the kicker. Here's the trick. They're paying him $1.2 million this season because the Denver Broncos owe him $38 million. So the Steelers are essentially getting a 9-time Pro Bowler on the low. James Jones, where does Russ put the Steelers in the AFC? Are they legit Super Bowl threats? Are they the same team? Where in the world does he put him?
You know what? I should be. Can I tee you up? Because I didn't see you on the highlights. Russ in Pittsburgh. What's up, dog? How do you feel about Russ being in Pittsburgh?
That is a phenomenal point. I don't think this means anything.
Anything?
Anything. Here's why. Dave, if and I'll use the race because that's the term we've been talking about today. If James and I were to race, obviously Shady sitting out. So if James and I were to race, and if I were to lose, but then I come back a year later and I say, yeah, boy, I got faster, big dog. I've been training.
Yeah.
But James could say, I've gotten faster, and I've been training too. So it don't matter that I got faster and been training, because what's he been doing? Think about the AFC teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. What are they doing at the quarterback position? Because when I think about the AFC teams that didn't make the quarterback, Jake Browning was a primary starter. Oh, they're getting Joe Burrow. Gardner Minshew was a primary starter for the Colts. Oh, they're getting Richardson. Aiden O'Connell was a primary starter for the Raiders. Oh, they're getting a first-round pick. Zach Wilson was a primary starter for the Jets. Oh, they're getting Aaron Rodgers. Easton Stick was a primary starter for the Chargers. Oh, they're getting Herbert. And lastly, Bailey Zappe was a primary starter for the Patriots, and they're getting a first-round pick. So, yes. The Steelers got better. They're going from Kenny Pickett to Russell Wilson. But it's not just about what you do in life. What's your competition doing in life? Mm-hmm. And when you look around at the rest of the competition of teams that didn't make the playoffs, teams that made the playoffs, they already good. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, CJ Stroud, they're good. I just showed you all the teams that didn't make the playoffs. 16 AFC teams, 7 in the playoffs. Take the 9 remaining teams. I just showed you all about 7 of them. So did the Steelers improve at the quarterback position that much more than anybody else did? I would say no, if at all. That's why, to me, it doesn't really mean much.
That's a good take. I think you're crazy. But that's a good take. This is what they put on our paper. All three Steelers quarterbacks that played had 16 total touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to leave it right there before I even talk about Russ's 29 touchdowns. But with them 16 touchdowns, they still was in the playoffs. You don't even need Russ to be great. All you need Russ to do is come over there and give them 29 touchdowns and finish some drives at the end of the game. Because when I was watching Russell Wilson last year, especially when they went on a 6-1 record, Russell Wilson had 13 touchdowns, 4 picks. But forget all the stats. When you turn the tape on and you look at Russell Wilson like this, there's nobody that the Steelers have right now that is making plays like dangerous right here to win games. The defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers is always going to have you into the in the game. No matter what year it is, no matter who the quarterback is, they are going to have you in the football games. You just need a quarterback like this. This is Russ from last year turning the tape on. This is big-time throws to win football games. The Steelers did not have that. George Pickens is going up and making them plays. Deontay Johnson is going to make them plays. They have a really good run game. So year in and year out, different quarterbacks come in the game that are really good, and the Pittsburgh Steelers say, our defense good too. And they find a ways to win games, and they just have not had the quarterback. Now you get Russell Wilson in there, you have just put yourself in position to compete for a Super Bowl, point blank period. Mm. You spoke on the teams that did not make the playoffs that are going to be getting their quarterbacks back, which is true. But two of the teams that was in the playoffs last year too, one of the teams won the Super Bowl. Russ beat them with the Broncos. So if you ask me if the Steelers have a chance with Russell Wilson and what they have on both sides of the ball, absolutely. And they beat Lamar Jackson last year without Russ. So this team right here with Russ, if Russ can just give you what he did last year, is going to have a chance to compete for a championship.
Joy, where are the Steelers? I know you may not want to talk Super Bowl, but where are you putting them with Russell Wilson?
I think they're in the mix with everyone else who we consider to be competitive in the AFC. Let's take the Chiefs out of it. Just mm-hmm. put them up there on the shelf. They're the dynasty. Champions. They're obviously the team that everyone has to beat, and the only team that has beat them in the AFC as of recent is the Bengals. So I think that they're in the mix with everyone else. They're in with the Bengals. They're in with the Bills. They're in with the Ravens. They're in with the Browns. They beat all those teams all the time anyway. They're in that group of teams that we think is going to be competitive in the playoffs that have an opportunity to get to. Let's just start with an AFC championship game, right? Like, we don't have to go all the way to the Super Bowl. I think we get very liberal with, okay, this is a Super Bowl contender. We did this last year with the Jets. 4 plays in, that's out. We did it with Russ, year one in Denver. How many Super Bowls can Russ win in Denver? Is one Super Bowl enough?
I remember that.
He's now, yes, you're with the state. You probably said a few of those things. Now he's in Pittsburgh looking to rent a lovely home in Swickley or Wexford or Shayside is very nice too. Lots of great restaurants there, Russ. So I'm excited that he's in the 412. I think he puts them in position to actually be competitors. The Steelers are always right there. They're always having a winning season. Mm-hmm. They're always well coached. They always have a great defense. They always have an interesting run game. They always have really well-developed skill positions that they've drafted, right? This is what the Steelers' identity is. It's always just right there with the quarterback. I mean, Jesus gave you the stats. I don't want to hear it again. It's so bad. If Rush just walks in and does exactly what he did last year, they're winning at least 2 more games. I mean, they won games off defense alone. So I don't want to jump all the way to the Super Bowl. I don't want to get crazy with the expectations and predictions because I really think we need to see how it plays out. But everything has been lined up for this to not only be a great position for Russ to be in, as we discussed for the past couple weeks, a great move for the Steelers because they're getting him for extremely cheap. They still have Kenny Pickett, who they are developing. I think they'll probably in some ways pitch this as a quarterback competition, although we can all assume that Russ will be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Arthur Smith is obviously there as the offensive coordinator. People forget before he went to the Falcons and made them unserious as the head coach, he was a pretty good offensive coordinator, which is why he got the job in the first place with the Atlanta Falcons. That's how it works. He had Tennessee at 2nd in total offense and 4th in scoring offense in 2020. So he is capable. We already know what Mike Tomlin is. We don't have to run through that. I think this is a move that makes the Steelers a serious team.
Here's what's confusing to me. And Joy, I want to ask you again. Dave, can't wait to get for you. But here's what's confusing to me. Everything you said about the Steelers, Joy, I feel like you could have said about the Steelers last week. I feel like you could have said about the Steelers last year. Steelers are a serious team. Steelers are always competitive. They were just in the playoffs. Steelers haven't had a losing record, I believe, in 17 seasons now. So the Steelers are always capable of beating the Browns. They're capable of beating the Bengals. Like you said, they're capable of beating the Ravens. Steelers are in the playoff picture more often than they're not in the playoff picture. Steelers always have a winning record. So what I'm wondering is, if we don't want to go Super Bowl, but the Steelers are already in the playoffs, what's the delta by adding Russ?
In the playoffs?
They got beat by the Bills. I don't think with Russell Wilson, they would have beat the Bills.
Maybe, but they were certainly not beating the Bills. We didn't even need to talk about that game. In fact, I don't even think we previewed it. I don't even think we spent any time on it. We just assumed that the Bills were going to beat the Steelers, which was a healthy and reasonable assumption, because unless Josh Allen completely freaked out like he did against the Jets at the beginning of the season last year, the Steelers truly did not have a chance to win that game, especially the way that the Bills were playing leading into the playoffs. They were in playoff mode for many weeks leading into that. The difference between what they are now and what they were last year is now they have a real chance to compete in the postseason because they have a quarterback, which, by the way, we're talking about these other teams and the moves that they've made. Does it make them contenders? A lot has happened with Russ. A lot has happened. And recency matters. But if we're going to talk about it, we got to talk about everybody else in the same vein. Russ is a Super Bowl winning quarterback who has played in not one but two of them things. Okay? Right?
Yes.
He has been the franchise quarterback, the face of an organization. He has been the leader of that team, not the reason why, but the leader of the team. He has played at the highest level for many, many years. We're talking about moves that other teams are making as if those quarterbacks are making them serious. Who have done nothing close to what Russell Wilson has done in the postseason. I know recency matters. I'm not disregarding that. But we are not applying the same level of recency to the other moves that are being made around the NFL today. It's a little unserious.
I guess what I'm saying, Dave, is the Steelers were already serious. I don't think Russ makes them
The Steelers
any...
are nothing but serious. That's so, the only thing they
so
do.
So that's what to the National Football League, I think a team that wins 10 games and 10 games and 12 games and 12 games and 9 games and 9 games and 12 games, I think they're serious. I don't laugh at the Steelers.
So really quick before Dave goes, we were serious about Kenny Pickett taking them to the Super Bowl?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So the Steelers might, in that building, might be serious. But ain't nobody serious about that.
But is anybody serious about Russ taking? I haven't heard anybody being serious about Russ taking them to the Super Bowl today.
I am. I believe they have a really good shot to get in that game with Russell Wilson. Remember, they played Buffalo in Buffalo with Mason Rudolph and no TJ Watt.
Yeah. But
he's been to that game with Ben Roethlisberger.
My thing with the Steelers, and honestly, it's funny how the organization changes my opinion on this, because like 15 minutes ago, I'm hyped for Atlanta. They're back in the mix.
Yeah.
That's Atlanta. Their biggest moment ever is a collapse in the Super Bowl. That's what they're known for. Meanwhile, the Steelers, I'm like, really? Six trophies? The Steel Curtain? All that stuff that y'all have done, and this is what I'm supposed to get excited about? I do think the Steelers will be a better team with Russell Wilson. I looked this up. They lost three games where they allowed 21 or fewer points last year. That's how bad it was. So, yeah, like, and they won 10 games, by the way.
Exactly. So you might win 13, okay, and where the playoff game at?
You win maybe not at home. Not, yeah. You play in the
AFC. First round, not at home. 13.
Bengals.
You play with the reigning
Ravens.
MVP and the Bengals, who are the only team, as Joy said, who have ever threatened the Chiefs in your division. 12, 13 wins is not a guarantee of a home playoff game. So that's my point.
It's way better than 10.
You could win 11, 12 games, be the 5 seed, and go up against C.J. Stroud, who you probably lose to because this is a quarterback league, and that is my...
Don't you feel better? Don't you feel better playing against C.J. Stroud with Russell Wilson back there over Kenny Pickett? That's all I'm saying.
I feel better.
If
I am a Steelers fan, and assuming you are at least 20-something years old, you know how it feels to get to the mountaintop. Because, it was 08? It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
If you know how that feels...
And went back.
You cannot look at the current construction of the Steelers and be like, we're going to get through C.J. Stroud, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes.
That's where I'm at.
You can't
be excited knowing that, Kenny Pickett ain't going to be there.
I've watched this my whole life, and I hear you. But I will tell you where I've been beaten down, okay? Because it's my favorite thing to brag about the Steelers, right?
Please. They're excellence personified.
It's very cute that you guys get to the postseason and you had a winning season. Congrats to you. And before Tom Brady and Bill Belichick ruined it, I got to say that we have the most trophies in the league. That's not the case anymore. We're tied. But still, The point is, I hear you, but there isn't a franchise quarterback. There's not a Pat Mahomes store, okay?
No.
There's not. So what the standard is has to be reasonable. Yes, the expectations for the Steelers are Super Bowl every single year. We know that only one team wins a Super Bowl every single year. And right now we are in the middle of a current dynasty. So to say that it changes nothing, I guess, is my issue. Because the Steelers are what they are. They have the standard that they have. They have the defense they have. They have the coaches they have. They have the skill positions that they have. They have the running game that they have. They have the culture that they have. So they have all of these things and we still take them serious. When you add someone who has at least, we know, had the capability at some point in their career of winning the Super Bowl and then going back to a Super Bowl, it does make them better. And I hear you on the rest of the AFC, too, because we showed all of those quarterbacks in that long list of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That was not the list of quarterbacks you would have shown in September. That would have been the gauntlet if we showed who was going in September. Yeah, so we know a lot happens during the season. So what Russ does is gives you a chance. And in the marketplace, your other options were what? Pay Kirk Cousins the bag that he's going to demand, honey. Run me my money, honey, as he always does. And he's going to get it. You're going to give it to him. You're going to pay that man whatever money he asks for. I don't know why we do it, but we do it every time. And I would have done the same thing. Where do I sign Kirk? Because so for some reason, these checks keep coming. So we're going to pay Kirk Cousins, which is going to hamstring the rest of your roster. You're going to have to make changes. You go draft another quarterback. We don't know what's going to happen with that. This was a great option. And all I'm saying is, I'm saying there's a chance.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because there is a way that the Steelers could change the way I feel about this, but it goes counter to everything we know about them. Because, I mean, you just mentioned the excellence, the consistency. They're very set in their ways. Like, honestly, isn't it a little bit surprising they were even willing to do this?
A little bit.
Slightly.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a little bit surprising.
I had some doubts they were going to do it.
So here's, if the Steelers are willing, I looked it up. They've got roughly $25, $27 million in cap space. They're paying their quarterback $1.2 million. Pennies.
Million.
Pennies for a guy that's been to a Pro Bowl. If they're willing to 49er this thing up and just start loading up, who's still available? Who can we get? Who can we add to this defense?
You.
We just cut Patrick Peterson. We got to go get another cornerback. We could use a third wide receiver. Let's go get that guy. If the Steelers are willing to do that and load up their roster to completely surround Russell Wilson, well, then we can talk. But they're the Steelers, and I don't legitimately think they're going to do that.
First off, Russell Wilson came in here.
It's in their DNA.
And Mike Tomlin say, listen, you ain't even going to go on the books because I'm going to write you my check out of Wells Fargo for 1.2. And bring you on to the – why wouldn't they do that? You got to
– Are they out there today doing it?
They're not big-time free agents.
All the biggest names are going.
They're draft, develop, draft,
even
develop.
Even if you go in the draft, you ain't got a waste to pick on at in the 20s or whatever on a quarterback, whether a Penix or somebody fall down there, you're going to get somebody good.
I agree with
and
that.
And there's still some other players out there in free agency that you could go
they
get
gotta go
to
get
improve
them.
This roster.
They
got
to go
and
get
you
them.
Got the money.
You do have the money. Well, the Jags made a shocking decision. They now have two first-round picks at quarterback on the same roster from the same draft class. Matt Jones traded to Jacksonville to back up Trevor Lawrence, or is it to push Trevor Lawrence? Should we start to worry about quarterback phenom Trevor Lawrence now that they've acquired a first-round pick from his same exact class? Shocking move, shocking conversation. Next on Speed. We are in third and long, third topic of the day. It's a huge day. Free agent chaos. Mac Jones traded from the New England Patriots to join the Jacksonville Jags. But here's the most interesting storyline. Remember, Mac Jones was in the same draft class and in a first round pick, just like Trevor Lawrence, current Jags starter. So now what in the world does that mean? Mac Jones went to a playoff game with the Patriots. Trevor Lawrence has been to the playoff once. He's won a playoff game. Joy, what does the Mac Jones trade mean for a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, who we heralded as maybe the greatest quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck or John Elway? What's it mean for Trevor Lawrence?
Boy, we really overdid it with this one, huh? We're like, we should change the rules so a freshman can come out of college. That's not his fault. No. That's not your fault, Trevor. That's our fault. By the way, Trevor Lawrence has won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I don't think this means anything. I think Trevor Lawrence, for all of our fodder, we gave him a pass on his rookie season, right? We're not going to talk about that. But we all just decided as a community we were just going to disregard that, not hold that against him. He's in his second year.
Yeah.
Right. This is the math that we're doing. This is called football math. This is football media math. This is girl math and football media math. And that's what we're doing with Trevor Lawrence. I don't think this means much. I think it says way more about Mac Jones that he's on the market for a sixth round pick. being that he came into the league the way that he did as a first-round pick. I think it's a really smart move for them to have a solid backup that has a lot of starting experience, a lot of playing experience. Every team should be actively looking to deepen their roster at the quarterback position as long as it doesn't cause too much commotion within the building, which I don't think that this does. I don't think anyone thinks Mac Jones is coming in there and taking over the starting position for Trevor Lawrence. We're talking about, you know, do they battle in camp? Let's be serious.
Yeah. I don't think it's that.
I mean, let's be serious. I think this is, maybe, if it does push him, maybe it's a good thing. You know, it's good to have a little competition. Keep you on your toes. This is a competitive league. I think it's a great move for them to bring him in, have a solid backup. I think it will push Trevor Lawrence a bit, but I don't think Trevor Lawrence, and technically going into his third year in the league, he has a lot of developing to do still. And I think that we're probably exaggerating what we expect from him. He did win a playoff game.
He has the same amount of playoff wins as Kirk Cousins,
okay, in going into his 13th. Not to bring up old stuff.
That was a crazy playoff game he won.
Here's my question, because I don't want to throw a wrench in it, but I have to.
Yeah.
Because I agree with Joy that we do discount Trevor Lawrence's rookie year because there was so much craziness going on coaching-wise, obviously. But then we have to give that same grace to Mac Jones, do we not? Rookie year, he has McDaniels. McDaniel leaves. His second year coaching, he has a combination of Matt Patricia, who was hired by the Philadelphia Eagles in the middle of the season to be their defensive coordinator. And he also had Joe Judge, a special teams coach, to be his quarterback coach offensive coordinator. And then this past year, he has Bill O'Brien. I trust Doug Peterson, head coach for the Jags. I trust his eyes for talent, trust his eyes for quarterback. Doug Peterson, a former quarterback under Andy Reid. So while we can discount Mac Jones and take Mac Jones unseriously, if Trevor Lawrence is only going on year two, obviously, figuratively speaking, Mac Jones is a rookie. Like, Mac Jones has had worse coaching experience in the NFL than I would suggest even Trevor Lawrence has, because at least Lawrence has had Doug Peterson for the last two.
Yeah.
Mac had McDaniels gone, Patricia, Judge, gone.
They didn't ask
him. And then, Bill O'Brien.
Baffling
Why
things
did they do that?
Like,
it's great. We should have talked about that more.
Like,
it's really crazy they did that.
Think about that.
I don't disagree with you. I think Mac has had a terrible circumstances he's had to deal with in the league. I don't disagree with you. But I do think that Trevor Lawrence is better. He's more talented. He was picked where he was and touted the way he was for a reason. And even though he has had an easier run as far as all that chaos goes, he's still better right now.
Yeah. James, what's it say to you? Because trading for a number one overall pick formerly, who's only in his fourth year, going into his fourth year, no small thing. I don't care what you gave up.
No.
It's no small thing because it's controversy. Yeah. Speaking from experience, if they bring in a kid from your draft class, mm-hmm. kid you grew up going up against, high school recruiting going up against, college playing against, same draft class, it at least matters psychologically.
Yeah.
It's one thing you bring in an old head to back you up. Oh, this dude ain't finna do nothing. It's one thing you bring in a young pup to back you up. Yeah. But if you bring in your peer, that matters. Yeah. Does it matter to you?
It does, and I'm with Joy. I don't think this is something that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to come out like, we have a training camp battle. No. But what this does say is, don't play well and see what's going to happen. And for Trevor Lawrence, it really, for me, every time you make one of them mistakes is,
what's that right there?
You're going to look over that shoulder, and you're going to see what's behind you now. You're going to see what's behind you. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but it was myself, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, right? The very next year, we drafted Jordy Nelson. Rest in peace, Ted Thompson. He's like, this means nothing for you, JJ. Like, we drafted, cool. We get out there and trade it. Why he in the rotation? What you mean this means nothing? So we've seen this plenty of times to where coaches do this. It might not mean nothing. Don't play well and see what happens. I think that's what this is. He's 69 touchdowns, 60 turnovers, one winning season in three seasons. And yeah, Trevor Lawrence. No.
The record still counts.
Three seasons. Right? And
bet.
The playoff win, God is good.
All the time.
What? Why do you say that like you're talking to one of the boys?
You know what
though?
I'm saying? God is good, because that's how that one got done. But he has not been playing lights out. And then you bring in a first-round quarterback your draft class. To me, this is not saying quarterback battle, but don't play well is telling me, and you're going to be standing next to me in a polo.
You have your coach voice
Jacksonville
on when you say
polo.
That, though. Don't play well.
You know what I'm saying? And he's going to have one of these in, too, and he's going to be like, Mac Jones, hey, You heard that call? Yeah, we heard it.
I hate to push back on a guy who's actually had to look over his shoulder. Mm. I get it, but... And look, guys, I didn't know how I was going to shoehorn Dak Prescott into this show, but I have an opening now. I have an opening now because it reminds me of the
Come
Cowboys trading for Trey Lance last year. But James,
I thought you were going to say the Romo.
No.
I thought he was too. Wait, break this down.
What just happened last year? The Cowboys traded a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, a guy that the 49ers spent way more to get, and it's 2 weeks of controversy. What does this mean?
Dak played at all pro level.
Yeah, Dak went out and threw 36 touchdowns. Exactly. Yeah. And Trevor's going to be fine.
Okay.
Trevor hasn't lived up to the hype, and Trevor probably gets too much of a pass for his struggles because of where he was drafted, but he's a damn good quarterback. And if the Jags decided today they wanted to trade him, he'd get a hell of a lot more in return than a sixth-round pick. This says everything about Mac Jones, because keep in mind, a lot of the people from earlier in Mac Jones' tenure are still in New England. Gerard Mayo knows Mac Jones. He's been around. Mm-hmm. And they said, get this guy out of here. Not like he's 15th overall pick. We can work with him.
But
what did Pittsburgh just do to Kenny Pickett? We'll keep him around.
I have to push back, though, Dave Hellman.
There's no work to be done here.
I would say this, though. It's Trey Lance, we thought, was an incompetent quarterback. Like, quarterback play.
Never seen him play.
Mac Jones, we've seen him play well.
Yes.
9-8, if I'm not mistaken, went to the playoffs rookie season. They got blasted by the Buffalo Bills. But we've seen him play well. I would also say Mac Jones has proven, like, he can play in the NFL. He's proven he can play now.
How about this for a rebuttal, then? Because I think this is important. And you can get in trouble. You know, I'm guilty of it. I Google it. I'm like, how many games did Trevor play last year? He played 16. Oh, he's a healthy guy. No, he's not.
Yeah, he'd be banged up.
Trevor Lawrence got beat to hell last year. He had a knee bruise, played on it on short rest. He had a high ankle sprain. Remember, he messed up his ankle, and everybody was like, is he ever going to walk again?
Came back.
And then he played the next week. He had a concussion. He had an AC joint sprain. Dude was held together by duct tape by the end of the year. So if a starting quarterback is available for a sixth-round pick, good on Jacksonville for ensuring that position with a guy who can play.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Okay, so because my man battled injuries. Joy saying 2 years, but 3 years. winning season. Let's say he does get beat up a little bit, some bumps and bruises.
Sure.
And misses a couple games in a row.
Is he gonna get
Mac Jones.
Wally Pipped?
No, I'm just saying, and Mac Jones.
It's not Wally Pipped.
A first-round quarterback that you traded for comes in there and wins 3 games in a row. Is he walking back into his starting spot, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
The point that Dave made about what you would get on the market, I think, is very solid. If Trevor Lawrence was on the market, ain't nobody calling, pick up the phone. I have a sixth-round pick available
for you,
Jacksonville.
They would do the Russell Wilson deal for Trevor Lawrence in a heartbeat.
They dislocate their elbow slamming that phone down.
Absolutely.
So, yes, there's a difference between Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence. Whether it is fair is for Ferris wheels and fried Oreos, whether it is fair or not is really irrelevant. He's had a really rough go, Mac Jones. And I think Mac Jones is actually... To your point, we've seen him play at a high level. I don't think he's as bad as
No, he's not.
He's still not Trevor Lawrence.
He's not until... But here's a question, actually. Is Trevor Lawrence Trevor Lawrence? Because I actually don't know what that means anymore. Trevor Lawrence.
Comparing Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert, taking the numbers out, what's the difference?
To me, to some degree, same dude. One got a playoff win.
Does that matter?
To me, playoff wins.
I think it should matter. I think it is actually the differentiator right now. All of us, I think, would say Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. They played each other, which is the other thing that we always argue is the point. You guys went against each other, right? The head-to-head matchup. We go through all the numbers and everything. Okay, you're more talented, I'm more talented, cool. We play each other, what happens? Now, a lot happened in that game, I understand. But at the end of the day, there's a win-loss column, and that's what we measure greatness on.
What point are you making?
I'm saying that Trevor Lawrence is not a bad quarterback.
No,
he's not
of course
as good.
Not.
He's not
no,
as good not. As we yeah. thought he was good, going yeah. to be, yeah. and he is certainly not bad. And his career in Jacksonville is not over because Mac Jones has arrived in town in exchange for a six-round.
What's interesting, though, is this is a year that you either pay Trav or pick up that fifth-year option. So I also find it fascinating.
Would you be shocked? Because I wouldn't be. Would you be shocked if Trevor Lawrence had a multi-year deal in place before the season starts?
I think they'll pick up the fifth-year option and make him play now.
I think so?
Now that you've acquired Mac, and not that it means anything.
Mac doesn't have a longer-term future than
Trevor.
But
that's my point. Now you can just kind of juggle it out because they're both the same age to some degree. They're both third year going on their fourth year. And if you was going to pay Trev, I don't know that you would have done this.
Guys.
That's my only thing.
I know we are all very upset at ourselves for getting a little too crazy about Trevor Lawrence. Okay, I know. I understand. We like to, hedge our bets here a little bit. But like
generational got thrown a lot around a lot that year.
It did. We did it too much. Yeah. We did too much. Okay. We can admit we were wrong, right? We did too much. But like Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones are not the same.
I mean, but no, that's what I'm, no, talent wise, no, but I'm just saying the way
what
he's
what they've done too. I mean
the man got 60 turnovers in 3 years, the most.
He fumbles the ball. He fumbles too much. He doesn't hold on
also,
to the ball.
Also, I'm reminded of who's doing it. Doug Peterson's doing it. How'd Doug Peterson win a Super Bowl? Joy brought this up earlier with the backup quarterback. Carson Wentz a really good talent, but Nick Foles in pivotal moments got the stuff done. So I also think who's the dude masterminding all of this matters.
Matt Jones was getting benched for Bailey Zappi.
But remember, you got to ask yourself the why,
others.
Though.
No. You outlines what happened. Like, what you said about New England should be played on inside
matters.
The building on a loop. We did. We made all these choices, right? Now, the guy who made those choices isn't there anymore. But you did stand up in front of us with a serious face and do that Joe Judge,
Matt Patricia
contraption, which is just it is unhinged. Okay, an unhinged choice. Yeah. I agree. He also gets a pass for a year on that. I'm going to give them both a pass on that year. That's insane. So I do hear
very gracious.
I'm very
Joe's
gracious
part.
Today. I'm in a mood. I just don't think that they are the same. Like, I think
I agree
Trevor
with that.
Lawrence,
talent-wise,
despite the fact that he's had struggles, I think this is a great backup move.
It's something about them making this move, though. You host a really good pod, NFL. What is it?
NFL on Fox.
Yes.
Podcast.
Yes. So thank you. What if tomorrow I did a pod here at Fox and it was named the same name? But I only had 2 followers on that thing. You wouldn't look like, what they doing?
I wouldn't feel great about that.
That's all I'm saying.
Trevor Lawrence has a little more leeway than I do,
I think.
I'm
just saying, this man is first round.
First round, though, man.
Showed you he can play the game of football. I'm not saying it's a quarterback competition, right, but get
it's
hurt
something.
And think it's something to
it's
it.
Something. It's I'm like, something. This, you don't bring in a first-round quarterback on this
over
first.
That shoulder,
I'm going to hit the group chat when Trevor signs his extension this
Please do. Please do. Well, the free agency frenzy is all that we are talking about today. But on the backside of this commercial break, it's not just Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh or Kirk Cousins to Atlanta or even Saquon to Philly. We got to talk about all the moves. You all know the what. We're going to tell you the why and the how with NFL Insider Jordan Schultz. How did Russ end up in Pittsburgh after stopping in New York? Let's get to the details that you haven't heard anywhere else. That's next on Speak. Okay, family, maybe the most important part of today's show. Here are the details. The big free agency signings. Kirk Cousins, that's the most notable one. Christian Wilkins, a huge defensive tackle, now going to team up with Max Crosby. You got Michael Pittman, Xavier McKinney. Also, you got to think about DeAndre Swift, what he might do for Justin Fields or potentially Caleb Williams. This is the what. What has occurred? But what could not be more important is the why and the how. Want to bring in NFL Insider, Bleacher Report's NFL Insider, Jordan Schultz. Jordan, I want you to tell me, big dog, the why things are happening and the how things came to be. We all know the what. So let's start with what happened. Russell Wilson joined the Pittsburgh Steelers. But how did it happen? I know he stopped in New York for a moment. Mm-hmm. Break down the how and break down the why Pittsburgh.
So he really wanted to go somewhere where he had an opportunity to start. I think when you look at the Giants, I know Daniel Jones did not play particularly well last year, comes off the injury, but the plan for New York is still to start Daniel Jones week 1 of next season. The Steelers also presented this multitude of weapons, Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson. And I think Russell looks at that as here's an opportunity in the AFC North, a tough division, but an opportunity for me to come in and compete for a starting job. So that really was what it came down to. And then Pittsburgh obviously is going to pay Russell Wilson essentially $1 million a year, which means Denver is going to have to pay him 38. So money wasn't the issue. He wanted the opportunity to come in, compete for a starting job, not be a number two, and then obviously have a chance to win with competitive players around him. And he felt that Pittsburgh presented that. That's why he's a Pittsburgh Steeler today.
Now, talk to me about this, because I think this is a sneaky, huge story nobody's referenced. Russell Wilson, you know him well. I know Russell Wilson. A real calm, cool, mild-mannered guy. Him and Mike Tomlin's personality, as I see it, based upon knowing Russ, I think it's a kind of an odd fit, an odd match. What do you think, knowing Russell Wilson?
So let me tell you what happened. He was in the room with Mike Tomlin for a couple hours, and they hit it off in a way that was described to me as perfection. When you put Russell Wilson in a room, Acho, as you know, he excels. Mike Tomlin's the same type of guy. They related in a human on a human level, much way beyond football. And as a result of that, that created this level of like comfort that they felt like we can take this to a really successful place. And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have not had good quarterback play since Ben Roethlisberger. So it was a really low risk move by Pittsburgh to bring in a guy like Russ. And they felt like him and Tomlin, that they could really vibe. Again, they spent a couple hours together, and I was told it was a perfect relationship, almost made in heaven. That's another big reason why he's on the Steelers today.
Now, for y'all at home, this is quite literally Jordan Schultz's biggest day of the year. Schultz, I saw you just get a text, and you flawlessly checked your phone and kept giving the take. Is there anything you want to share, any breaking news you want to break real quick before the next question?
I got a text that AJ Epenesa was going back to Buffalo. But I'm prioritizing this, so we're gonna put that out in a minute. No problem. You know, if that was Brian Burns getting traded to the Giants, which by the way I think is possible, it's possible. Then I would say, Acho, I gotta go. Give me a second. But with respect to AJ Epenesa, good player. We're going to rock with Speak right now.
My man, I appreciate you for that. Okay, speaking of the Giants, Saquon Barkley, maybe the biggest name at the running back position. He's leaving the New York Giants. He's going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Tell me why he's making that decision and why the Eagles thought it was necessary.
So I talked to both sides here, and ultimately this came down to the Chicago Bears, the Houston Texans, and the Philadelphia Eagles. But Saquon felt like the Eagles had the best offensive line, the best weaponry, and he loved the idea of being in the same backfield as Jalen Hurts. I think also it's really important, and I reported this about an hour after the news came out, that basically, and I shouldn't even say basically, sorry, I got another text there. That's another news one. We're going to put that in about 5 minutes. But here's what happened. Saquon Barkley did not get an offer from the New York Giants. That told him everything he needed to know. So again, it came down to Chicago, Houston, and Philly. Philly presented essentially $38 million. I think it was 22-something guaranteed, a big guaranteed number. He felt like, yes, I've been a New York Giant my whole life, but this is a PA kid, went to Penn State, has always kind of had this respect for the Eagles. And I think the idea of joining Jalen Hurts in the same backfield, when you're talking about that type of money, it felt great. But the biggest takeaway to me, Acho, was no offer from the Giants. And I think that was, I guess you could say, insulting.
Well, I hope you all realize at home this is invaluable insight that we are getting. The next major storyline today is Kirk Cousins, $150+ million to join the Atlanta Falcons, leaving Minnesota. Schultz, please tell me, unless that is a Brian Burns news that you need a break, please tell me, Schultz, Kirk Cousins, why in the world did he choose the Atlanta Falcons? Give him grace, America. This dude's breaking news literally as we're speaking.
Yeah, so Epenesa is 1 year up to 10, for what it's worth.
Take your time, Joel. So take your time, big dog.
Here's what happened with Cousins. He met with the Vikings last night and basically felt like if the Vikings could get to a number close to what he anticipated the Falcons to get to, or basically the same, that he could take that deal. Minnesota was unable to get there. They flirted with Denver, but ultimately the Falcons targeted Kirk Cousins a month ago. Zach Robinson loves him, the OC who came from the Rams. That's the Sean McVay offense. That's the same offense disciple Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. Cousins was never going to take any visits. He loved the idea of playing in a dome. His wife is from the Atlanta area, and now he gets to reunite with the same type of offense, same verbiage. And I've already talked to Bijan Robinson, Drake London, a couple of guys on the Falcons who we think are going to be a huge part of their offense next year. And they were like, listen, Kirk Cousins is a perfect fit for us because of his accuracy, his ability to drop back, get it out. And I think he's going to upgrade them to an 11-12 win team. If you look at their offense last year, obviously the quarterback Desmond Ridder struggled, but there were pieces there in place as well as Kyle Pitts. Defensively, I think they'll be pretty good. The offensive line is above average, too good. So I thought it was a huge move. They paid him a lot of money, but clearly they're not worried about the Achilles. He's 36 years old and he should be ready week one.
Last one for you, Schultz, and then please get back to, you know, changing the sports world quite literally on today. T. Higgins, he requested a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a number one wide receiver talent. Break down for me, why in the world is he requesting a trade when he got Joe Burrow as his quarterback? He got Jamar Chase outside of him also. Why does T. Higgins want out so bad?
He wanted a long-term extension that, quite frankly, I thought he earned. You start. I reported Michael Pittman earlier getting, I think it was 71 and a half over. I want to say three. So, you know, if you're talking about the wide receiver one market, and you saw Mike Evans get 21 to 23 million. Basically, if Higgins could have gotten that type of extension, he would have been thrilled to get it. Cincinnati was not willing to do it. That's pretty much on par with how the Bengals operate. Not a big spending team, small market franchise. So now you start to think about, if you're T. Higgins, what's my future here? We know we have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. We've already paid Joe Burrow. Where do I fit in? And that's where the trade request came. And I think the tag is fine. I would anticipate that he plays on the tag. I don't think he's going to be traded. It's my understanding that it would take about a two, maybe a three to get him. So if you're let's say you're Carolina or Tennessee, those are the two best fits for me if I'm trading for T. Higgins. Not only do you have to trade a potential two or three, but then you have to pay him. That's a big ask. And that's why I don't believe T. Higgins ultimately gets traded this year. And I think he ends up playing on the tag next season for the Bengals.
Well, speaking of big ass, it was a big ass to ask you to join the show in the midst of the biggest day, I would say, of your offseason. A phenomenal job by you, as always, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll be looking at your tweets.
I'm watching you guys on mute, so I've been watching. I'm just not listening, but I'm watching. So, you know, if anything crazy happens, I'll be in touch.
Absolutely phenomenal. That is Jordan Schultz, NFL insider for Bleacher Report, family. On the other half of this commercial break, Baker Mayfield. He got a $115 million deal, but is Bake, as James Jones would like to call him, is he worth the money? That is next. How good was Jordan Schultz? That was a treat.
Bake.
All right, we're in overtime. Baker Mayfield, free agency did not last long for him. 3 years, $115 million. That's what the deal is worth up to. Baker Mayfield led the Bucs to the playoffs, and not just to the playoffs, won a playoff game, competed against the Lions, and then they fell short. Joy Taylor, going to you on this one. Baker Mayfield, is he worth that $115 million maximum dollar deal?
Well, I don't think he'll get to the maximum, so I think he is worth it, because the non-maximum part of the deal is the part that is important to me when it comes to this, because it's $50 million guaranteed.
Yep.
He won a playoff game, as you mentioned. Yeah. He's been in the system. Now, look, somebody had to win that division, all right? It's the law. But they did go and win a playoff game. That's mm-hmm. something. It's not it's not nothing. So I don't know what Baker's going to be. As soon as we start putting a little faith in Baker, he gets a little squirrely. Yeah. So we'll see. But I think for this amount of money and the situation that they were in and what he did last year, this is completely worth it. And I'm glad they did, because having uncertainty at quarterback is not a life that anybody wants.
Thank you. I agree. I believe it was the right deal. I'm looking at 2 years, 50 as well. But you should get paid for playing well.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield played his tail off last year at the quarterback spot. It's the hardest position in football, and he played his tail off. You should get paid when you play well, and that was Baker Mayfield. 2 years, 50. I like it. I still will bring in a young fella to kind of learn behind him.
Quickly, Dave Hellman, like it, love it?
I love it. It fits right where it's supposed to be. By average salary per year, he's not even top 15 in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. It's a great deal. Shout out to Jason Light, the general manager in Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield were two of the most high-profile free agents in this crop. They didn't even get to free agency. Like, this all got done before the window opened to negotiate. So to keep them both at prices that work, and the Bucs they'll stay relevant for the next 2 years. That core of their roster will be competitive, and you retool in a year or two.
It has been a huge day in the NFL. Got this, the Green Bay Packers. You got Xavier McKinney at safety. You got Josh Jacobs. How about the Chicago Bears? You got DeAndre Swift, the Eagles. You got Saquon Barkley, Za'Darius Smith. He just agreed to go back to the Brownies. Leonard Floyd to the Niners. Who is the biggest winner in free agency so far? The most chaotic day of the offseason, and you are here for it. We appreciate you. Come back to find out the latest breaking news and the biggest winners of the day. That's next on Speed. An absolute treat of a show today, in large part because of the NFL chaos. Money has been flying around everywhere. Kirk Cousins, 180 to join the Falcons. You got Michael Pittman Jr., $70 million staying with the Colts. How about what Saquon Barkley agreed to, up to $46.7 million to leave the Giants and join the Eagles? A chaotic, chaotic, chaotic day. James Jones, you'll like what I'm about to say next. I think the biggest winner of NFL free agency today, Jordan Love. Jordan. I'm not going to talk about an organization. I'll talk about a person. Yeah. Jordan Love last year, we saw him grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Remember, the Packers weren't even convinced in Jordan Love last year, so they've signed him to that hybrid long-term, hybrid short-term. We'll give you a two-year deal because we don't necessarily want to pick up your option. And he took them to the playoffs, won a playoff game, went to Dallas and dismantled the Dallas Cowboys at home, where the Cowboys, I believe Dave Hellman, had won maybe 16 or so consecutive games.
Thanks for bringing that up.
That's what Jordan Love did. Yeah. But now imagine Jordan Love having Josh Jacobs in the backfield. Now, Aaron Jones is a dude.
He is a dude.
But Josh Jacobs, in my mind, can play the part of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones without having to be subbed out. He has the punch and power of A.J. Dillon, and he has the speed of Aaron Jones. And then defensively, you add Xavier McKinney, who though he's made some foolish decisions off the field. On the field, Xavier McKinney at safety is an absolute beast, an absolute animal. I love what the Packers have done, most specifically for Jordan Love.
Go, Pack, go. We're trying to make a run. We're trying to make a run.
Absolutely.
We know what Jordan Love is. But, yes, I believe Josh Jacobs is arguably the best running back in the league right now. All purpose, too. Can catch the ball out the backfield, can run the ball in between the tackles. And then you go address a big need, safety. We needed a safety. You go grab Xavier and you put him back there at safety, which is a really good secondary. The Packers made some really good moves today. Jordan Love should be happy. But Packer fans should be happy as well, too. We're finna make some noise, man. I don't know what we're gonna bring up here next season because we done had an eagle and a buffalo. I don't know what else has been up here.
Let's see a charcuterie plate. So,
yeah. So we're gonna have something, you know, because the Packers gonna make some noise.
Smoked Gouda, perhaps?
You know what I'm saying?
I love goat cheese, truffle. Delicious.
I didn't get it at first.
By the way, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love. No. Whoever made that deal in Green Bay, you run me your plug. Okay,
you know what I'm
because yeah. I need those options for me as well. It's crazy the life y'all live.
Packer fans is blessed.
It's really blessings. Yes. It's blessings. I'm gonna go with the Steelers though. The quarterback position was the position that was most in question there. A team that has a Hall of Fame head coach, has a culture, has skill positions, has an incredible defense, has a run game, has a system, and they have nothing at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And not because they haven't tried. So I think it's a great move, obviously, to get him for the money that you're getting him, a guy that has something to prove still, a guy that has proven things in the league already. I think it's a really great move for the Steelers. And this was uncertain. To Dave's point, I wasn't sure if they were going to do it. I don't know if they were going to listen. I had some doubts.
It's outside their normal...
It's
behavior,
not. It is. It was against how they normally move.
They're tired.
I'm glad.
You're tired.
I'm like, good. I'm glad you're tired.
We are tired of it. So, yeah, I love the move. I love the move for us. I love the move for the Steelers, and I think it makes them competitive.
I hate going somewhere this obvious. Cause look, I'm a hipster, right? I want to know. I want to say the under-the-radar thing. And, look. Shout out to the Rams for what they did at the guard position.
Yep.
But that's nerdy, and that doesn't change anything.
they was like, I'm not going to do it, but...
I'll do it briefly.
Until they see that quarterback running for their life.
The real answer is Atlanta, because, like, I thought the Rams were going to be good anyway. The Packers are one of my teams to watch anyway. Cool, the Eagles are in the news. What else is new? The Atlanta Falcons are relevant now. Mm-hmm. For the first time since what? Like, 20...
17, probably.
17, 18? Yeah. It's been a minute.
Cousins, huh?
The Atlanta... I am. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. I get it. I get the lack of postseason success, but you got to be there first. Mm-hmm. And the Falcons are now in that conversation. I don't think there's a long list of teams. Like, I would have said the Packers are a playoff contender before today. Yeah. I would have said that about the Rams. I would have even said that about the Steelers. Yeah. They made the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. The Falcons are picking in the top 10, mm-hmm. and now they are a division favorite. That's rare. You don't see that very often. So I think if you're just talking about winning today, and I actually, and look, a lot of this money, a lot of these decisions are going to turn out to be bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they usually do.
Kirk Cousins is going to age well.
Not usually like, do, but there's
Kirk
always
Cousins,
things to do.
I don't know if he'll win the Falcons the Super Bowl. If I had to be really honest, I'd say I doubt it, but he will be good.
Yeah.
He will make them relevant. He will make them playoff contenders, and they win today because of that.
And he will make...
A lot of money.
$300
million-plus in
him,
career
man.
Earnings.
Good for him.
Cowboys, no moves.
Are you shocked?
No.
Come on.
Not at all.
Don't do that.
When we return, Justin Fields could be heading to Las Vegas. That's
Come on.
On the street. We will tell you why that might be a thing next on Speed.
I really hope that happens. For us, for our sakes.
2-minute drill. As the market is starting to close up on the big time propositions, you see a report that Justin Fields, Raiders, kicking the tires on a possible reunion with offensive coordinator Luke Getsy. Dave, you had a couple comments on that during the commercial break. Bring him to live television.
I just want to know, like, if Justin Fields is reading this, assuming he follows on the right social media, like he didn't stop following them, is Justin Fields like, all right, reunited with Luke Getsy? Or is he like, reunited with Luke Getsy? Come on, this was half the problem. I really don't know the answer to that, but you look around, how many other options are there with Kirk going to Atlanta, Russell Wilson's in Pittsburgh? How many? I mean, maybe Minnesota? Would
James,
Chicago deal him in the
you
division?
You played for the Raiders, so this is near and dear to your heart. You like? Would you like that move?
I played for the Raiders. Coach Luke Getsy was my receiver coach at the Packers. That's my dog. Put him back together.
Okay.
He played at a high level when he came back from injury under Luke Getsy.
When did Justin Fields ever play at a high
level? He played at a high level after injury.
There was a month there.
When he came back and played under Coach Luke. Go to Las Vegas. You don't even need to look at the playbook. You know the play calls.
No, he should definitely look at the playbook.
Stop it. Y'all know what I'm saying.
You walk in there comfortable.
Coach Luke.
Any extra hours.
We ran that last year. We're good.
He should have lots of dinners.
And I got Devontae. And I got Jacoby.
He should definitely.
I can think of worse landing.
I can think of worse landing. Don't listen. That's not advice. Playbook is like this.
You know what I mean? He's going to
play the
playbook. Appreciate y'all watching.